Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
If we could say that chapter 11 was the faith chapter, the hall of fame, it's about people acting in faith, then chapter 12 would be about your faithfulness. Now, it's fun to talk about stories and the impossible and everything that could happen. It's not so fun to talk about your faithfulness, is it? I mean, after all, how many times are we really, really faithful? How many times are we like 100% we're going after? I mean, like most of us can't even stay on the Chiefs bandwagon long enough for them to lose a couple games. You want to talk about faithfulness? Go to Arrowhead one night when they're not doing so hot. People that pay hundreds of dollars for seats are walking out second quarter. Not Thursday, of course. Everybody stayed to the end, right? So we're on Chiefs, man. Going to the Super Bowl, right? Talk about them Royals fans. They're like, you know, everybody's talking about the bandwagon. Oh, it's so great. Now we only call him Salvi. And we got posters in our yards and all that stuff. And now it's like, You're a baseball fan? Well, I am, you know, like when they're in the World Series, I'm definitely watching them. Our faithfulness is so fickle. But you know what? It's kind of the same way with God. We're really kind of fickle creatures when it comes to our faithfulness. You know, here at ES First, we have a pretty big culture of inclusivity. There's people from all over, all sorts of tops, different walks of life, and we want you to come and experience God in a real way, and we try to prepare a place where you can meet with God and know him in a greater way. And some of you come on Sunday morning, some come on Wednesday night, some, you know, come on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and some, you know, stay longer in Sunday school, and some of you go home and you've taken notes, and you study, and you think about it, and you're going over everything. You want to listen to the podcast again on the app, and you want to do all these things, and it's like you're faithful, you're committed, but really, like, how many times do we think about, like, not just going through the motions and just doing one, you know, service here or there? We graduate to two services or three services and studying overtime when we're on our own, but actually beginning to live out what God wants us to live out so we can become the people that he's always dreamed us to be. It's like when I talk about Abraham, Abraham was a man of faith, but he put it all on the line. We talk about Rahab, we talk about Isaac, we talk about Sarah. All these people trusted God with their lives because they were faithful to God in his faithfulness to them. And so we take a turn from talking about the faithfulness of God and believing what he said and beginning to build what he wants for our lives to actually, am I the kind of person that is going to stick with it and move forward into what God has for me? Will I be a person that jumps off the bandwagon when times get tough, when things don't look all that pretty, when things get a little bit, you know, strenuous on my body or my physical faith, so to speak? Will I quit? And so we talk about all this greatness and all the things that God is, and then he says, therefore, now you. Us. Therefore, us. Let's check it out. Are you ready? All right, let's talk about Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read it off the screen. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all the people in chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of God that is the power of God alive in us, to become what you dreamed us to be. I pray that faith through the Holy Spirit would grow, and I pray that power would become alive. We would stretch ourselves in greater ways to become everything you dreamed us to be. I know your word is alive and active, and I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would transform us through the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. It says you should run with perseverance. Now, I'm not a runner. You know what I mean? Like, I admire people who are like, I want a 5-mile run today. You know, like, I used to, like, go to basketball practice in high school, and they made us run line drills, and line drills are cool, you know, like, I mean, you have a destination, and like, there it is. Like, that's where I'm going. And then you just turn around, and you go back, and then you run. And there was this one kid, and you might know him, but he, so I'm not going to say his name, but he would actually run the whole entire time we were at basketball practice. He would just run. He would run around the top, running his really long legs, just kind of a zoomy guy. And then he would just, like, all of a sudden he'd be gone. And then he'd be back. I'm like, where you been, man? He's like, I've just been running. I went on like a 6-mile run. I'm like, what are you doing now? Like, you're still running around the top. He's like, well, I'm on my cool down. Right? Like, if you run enough that you have to cool down, like a mile cool down, that's too much running. I'm not a runner like that. I don't find joy in it. It's like this grin on his face about just like running with perseverance. One time, me and my brother decided we were going to be runners. And we're definitely not. We're basketball players. So we had like our long basketball shorts and our shirts. You know, like runners had like different kinds of shorts. You know what I mean? It's like, it's prettier. Me and Johnny, we weren't running those kind of shorts. We had basketball shorts, like triple extra large, you know, like down here. You know, you run. Like, we had our Jordans on, and I lived in Kansas City. And so he comes to my apartment, and we're like, we're going to run. They got this beautiful trail. We ran about 3 blocks, and we stopped at the corner. And we were, like, talking, you know, kind of on the way. We ended up standing at that corner and, like, laughing our guts out to the point of locking it up. You know, like... And like, so we gusted, we got everything together we could, all of our gusto, and we turned around and walked back to my apartment, and we sat on the couch, drank soda, and watched TV. We're not runners. We're not runners. It's not what we do. But here in this passage, Paul is talking about runners. Now, running is a big thing back in this time period. We have, it's after, you know, the Olympics were formed in Greece, and people were concerned about building their bodies and health, and it's really kind of the fitness movement began just before this time period. So Paul starts talking about to all these people who understand what health and fitness is like. He's like, you need to run with perseverance. Now, perseverance is a weird word. You know, it's like, it's a word that, it's a pretty word, but it really means like, you need to run with consistency and patience. Patience. And he goes on, he says, he's like, there's some things in your life that will hold you back from running like an athlete. And there's many times that Paul references running. In Corinthians, he talks about, you know, like, he's like taking off everything and to run with a conditioning and a training. And he starts to reference runners over and over again. And here is no different. He starts talking about, like, you need to take off every weight, every hindrance that will beset you from running a good race. A good race. And then he says, you know, every hindrance and sin. And actually, in his day, when they would train buck naked. Why? Because there were some hindrances. Now, if you work out at the community center, please don't go there and try this. You may not work out there very long. But they would take off everything, every element of drag, they would shave their bodies. I mean, anything that would hold them back, they took off. It took it all off. It's like, lay aside every weight and everything that so easily sets you back and every sin. Sometimes we look at life and we want to talk all about sin, but we don't want to talk about the weight that sets us back. We don't want to talk about the weight that sets us back. So he starts to paint this visual picture, and maybe you're starting to think about it too. You're starting to think about, you know, the runners that have like the streamline outfits and the spandex or maybe you're thinking about, you know, Greek runners, and you're thinking about everything that's happening. And we need to begin to start to look at that and then look at our lives. A lot of times we live our lives in short distances, like me and John. You're like, just down to the line, down and back. I did so good today. And then we can stop. We can just go down, and then we can come back, and then we're done. I did my good deed. I did my thing. I've done everything I was supposed to do in this moment. But actually what Paul's talking about is a long distance race. And the thing about a long distance race is, I heard a lady talk about her marathon running experience, is that when you run long distances, people don't stick with you. You run a long distance, you're on your own. Like, you know, like there's like running clubs. It's like they get together so they can run further together. Did you know this? They run further together. People push them and they time their miles and they take their laps. And at the end, like, good to see you today. Oh, good to see you. Oh, what? I don't know how they can talk after they run, but they still can. And they're outside. But the running club is only getting ready for the thing that they're getting ready to do. If you've ever been to a 5K, it's about 3 miles. People go to a 5K, they drink alcohol, and they hang out, they have breakfast, and they run their 3 miles, and they're talking, and they do all sorts of like, hey, how you doing? Oh, we're going to run this together. When you go to a marathon, it's a completely different story. There ain't no like, you know, we're having alcohol. And they get in the pack, and it's like, if you look at the Boston Marathon, it's like, there's like, people, a swarm of people, and they're all just standing there getting ready to run. And the gun goes off, and they all start just kind of trotting. You know, I'm like a race to me is like, run! You know, that's like, go. It's kind of, oh, just, what are they doing? They're finding their pace, just trying to get it together. I'm just trying to get it together. Why? Because they know in a little bit, none of that pack's going to be there. And somewhere they're going to have to like own this race for themselves. And this lady I heard talk about her marathon, she was in a runner. She started like at 50 years old, started running and wanted to run a marathon. And she was talking about being at the very end of the whole entire thing, but she ran the marathon. It's like you get to 13 miles. Like, I don't know why anybody would ever run 13 miles. You have a car for that. They're running 13 miles and you get there and it's like, oh, I'm feeling pretty good. Right? And she said she got to a certain number, like 15, 16. She's like, I hit a wall. And it's funny, like when you begin to run long distances and the pack kind of falls back and all of a sudden it's just you, you start to really focus on, am I going to finish this or not? Am I going to get to where I'm supposed to go or not? I want to, it's my goal, but somewhere along the way, your legs lock up. Maybe your knee starts acting up, maybe, you know, you can't breathe so good, and you're thinking about the hills you have to climb and where you're going to go, and it's like, if I gave up now, I've already come so far, would it matter if I gave up right now? If I stopped right now, I mean, it's 18 miles is a long way, but you know what? In a marathon, if you run 18 miles, you don't get the prize. They award you for crossing the finish line. And Paul says, he says, when you live this life, I want you to run with perseverance the race marked out for you. He says, and you need to take off everything that's going to set you back, because at some point in your life, you're going to feel like, I am out here all by myself. All this stuff is weighing me down. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Your mind is going to play tricks on you. You're going to feel like it's done. It's over. I don't want to do this anymore. And either you're going to keep going or you're going to quit. And he encourages us to keep going. Run with perseverance the race set before. He even wrote a whole chapter of great stories so that you could remember them and say, therefore, since that, you run. And this is where faithfulness comes in. So he says, take off everything. Take off every hindrance. Take off everything that could set you back, everything that could slow you down, everything that make you feel like quitting, anything that stands in the way of you in that finish line, get rid of it. Even to the point of sin. So now, it's easy to know sin, right? I'm like, I'm not such a good Christian. I got these hangups. I got this stuff. But what about the things that so easily set you back? What about the things that, you know, just kind of set you back? They're not like bad things. Maybe God didn't say get rid of them, but they're keeping you back on your journey. They're setting you back. They're dragging you down. What about things like social media? What about things like your disciplines? What about things like the things that you think about when you're by yourself? What about the anxiety that you entertain? What about the worry that you're willing to just live with? And you feed it more by watching Fox News, and then CNN, and then Fox News, and then CNN, and then going to work and talking about what everybody's saying about whatever. What about the little things? What about, you know, eating too much fried chicken? No, we don't talk about that sin in the church, right? We're worried about other things, you know, like drinking too much, smoking too much, sleeping around too much. But last time I checked, gluttony was a sin. Something that sets you back. You know, in the church, we celebrate and applaud healing. And we run away from health. Being a steward of my body? You mean I can't drink what? I can't eat what? The things that are setting you back. What about your time management? You know, I don't have time to really study the Bible the way I want to. I don't have time to really do that. You know, the thing about Facebook is it'll be the great indicator of whether or not we had time when we get to heaven. Like, I wonder if God will have, like, yeah, I got your online record here. There's no porn, but there's a whole lot of Facebook. Yeah, you know, like, well, did you read my word? Well, I just didn't have time. I mean, Candy Crush is eating up a whole lot of your Bible reading time. What could you have done for God? How far could you have run if you'd set aside the things that so easily set you back from accomplishing what God wants you to do? Well, you know, I didn't know how to read the Bible. Nobody taught me how to read the Bible. Nobody taught me how to study. Well, you know, like, nobody taught you how to play Candy Crush, but you figured out the rules. What you want to do, you'll do. You'll figure out a way to learn. Why? Because you deem it as important. Could it be that the things that set us back are some things that we deem important by voting with our time and our energy instead of giving it to God to become the people that he wants us to be? Every time I waste a second, a minute on something that I deem that is more important in my journey, I'm voting and saying, I choose this over you, God. Not that Candy Crush is not a sin. You could play Candy Crush if you want. I'm just saying, if God were to say, if you were to stand before God and say, I'm sorry I didn't have time. I'm sorry I can't. I'm sorry I don't know how. He would probably say, well, do you have any want at all to become the person that I think you could be? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Okay, say amen. Come on, I'm amen by myself. Next week, Barry will be here and he'll be jumping around and it'll be all nice and pretty. Right now, we're talking about your faithfulness, okay? All right. Next thing he says is sin. He says, take off the sin that will distort the end. You know, sin is really missing the mark, isn't it? It's really not so much about, like, right or wrong, even though that's in there. It's really about God says do this, and we shoot that way. And we miss the mark. We had intentions to hit the target, but we didn't hit the target. Johnny talked about when he was preaching, he says, everything's a contest for him. I'll tell you one thing about that boy. Like, that boy knows where the target is. Hang out with Johnny very long. He has got a target every single time. You know, me, I'm like, I don't know, man. We're playing golf. He's like, well, I'm going to hit right here. It's going to land here, and it's going to roll right into that pin. It's like, man, we're like 300 yards out. I'm just shooting it that way. You know, it's the difference between having a target and missing it and not having a target at all. And sometimes we're living in sin because we don't have a target. Sometimes we're entertaining sin because we just want something to numb the pain. We don't have a target. Sometimes we're living in attitudes and addictions and things that set us back just because we have no clear view of where we're supposed to go. And that, my friends, is sin. If you can't listen to God, look in his word, and figure out what I'm supposed to even shoot for, you're missing out on God's plan for your life. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. And so now when I look in God's word, and the Bible says it's like looking in a mirror. He says, when I look in the mirror, it's like some of you look in the mirror and you walk away and you forget what you saw. You don't have a target. You forget what you're supposed to do. You forget about the destination. He says, but some of you, you look in the word of God and it's like a mirror and you remember. And so you like, I realize that I need to shave. Well, me personally, I'm not going to shave. But some of you go, wow, I got bags under my eyes. I need to do something about that. Michael Grisham doesn't have to do anything about that. He's just pretty. Maybe you look in the mirror, you know, when you undress. Like, I'm good. Some of you look in the mirror and go, I need to do something about that. And somebody else would say, are you kidding me? You look awesome. Like Chuck. I'm like, man, you look like glorified body. Like, no, I'm kind of pudgy right here. Like, no, you're not pudgy right there, bro. He looks in the mirror and he sees what he needs to work on. In the word of God, how many times do you look in the word of God for something to go, this is who I am and this is what I need to be? And because the word of God says it, I'll become it. I'll work on becoming it. I want to be everything that you say I can be, God. If you dream something better for my life, I want it. One time I looked in the word of God and I heard this verse a billion times. It said, a wise man or a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And I heard that a billion times. And all of a sudden I go, I don't even have an inheritance for myself, let alone my children, let alone my children's children. But I call myself a good man. What kind of person am I? Well, let's work on that. Let's work on that. I see myself in the mirror. I don't forget what I look at. I realize that that needs some work. Let's move forward in that. I looked in there and I said, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Well, I got spiritual gifts, right? But do I really desire them? Do I really desire that the Holy Spirit will work in me and move in me so that people I come in contact with can be affected by God because I have gifts to use for them? Did you know that? Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. The next verse says, but let me show you the more excellent way. It's like, I'm supposed to desire spiritual gifts, but there's a better way than that. And he says, the better way is to love. Love, do I really love like that? Let me just look at that a minute. I don't want to walk away from what the word of God says and say, I don't remember if I really add up to that or not. I want to every day go, I want to live the law of love. And then it goes on to say, love is patient. Love is kind. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't boast. It bears all things. My God, is that me? Run with perseverance. Set aside everything that doesn't hit the target. Be everything God called you to be. He says, run that race. And the funny thing is, he says, it's marked out for you. Look at that. I think it's in 2. It's just end of 1. Run the race marked out for you. You know what that means? Is that God already has the course for you. You know what that means? You don't have to get there and wonder which way to run. Isn't that good news? You ever been some way and wonder which way you should take? Me only? Okay. Like sometimes these GPS things, they got like the weird veering thing. I'm like, well, this isn't really a full turn, but it says maybe go that way, but there's 3 ways. Do I turn, stay, what? It's like stay on. Like which way is stay on? I don't know. But God's got the course marked out for you. Every step of the way. That means when I run, I'm not worried about mile 18, now which way do I go? I'm not worried about that. All I have to do is put 1 foot in front of the other, running each step of the way forward. Forward. And if I listen to the voice of God, and if I'm looking and setting aside the sin and the weights and the things, and I'm just trimming down to what God wants me to do, then I can just go, okay, I know that all I have to do is love this direction. All I have to do is run this direction, earnestly desiring spiritual gifts. Running this direction, knowing that I'm going to leave an inheritance for my children's children. Running this way, knowing that everything I do will be filled to the fullness of what God has me to do. The place is marked out. It's the race marked out. That's it. And he goes deeper. He gets further. He says, look, we have this whole chapter about people that you're probably looking up to now. You're probably looking at them going, I want to be like that. I want to live like Noah. I want to live like Moses. And you're running the race thinking about all these people. But the Bible actually says they're witnesses to this thing. They're watching you. They're watching you run the race. Why? Because a few verses before it says, the promise that you live in is full of this one thing that makes all the difference. And that is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promise. Help me out, right? And so in verse 2, he says this. He says, run the race marked out. And he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Man, I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do and who did what and all that stuff. And all he's saying is just, look at what Jesus did. Love like Jesus loved. Serve like Jesus served. Stay in it like Jesus stayed in it. He actually says what Jesus did is he endured the cross. Now, whoa. We like the word cross. We sing songs about it. I will cling to the old rugged cross. You know that song? And in the cross, be my glory ever. Like, oh, the cross. We wear it around our neck. We put it on gravestones. We put it on a car. We tattoo it on our bodies. Oh, man, the cross. But did you know the idea of the cross is not mentioned outside of the Gospels very often at all? It's not something they thought was beautiful and amazing. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, so great. When Paul is describing the cross, he is describing the weight of punishment. He is describing in a single word what it means to endure for the glory of something else. He says he endured the cross. Scorning its shame. In other words, he's running the race. He says, I know what this looks like. I know the vibe they're going to get from me. I know the name they're going to tag on me. The shame of this cross. The only reason we look at it as beautiful is because of how Jesus handled it. Could it be that you could handle your race so well that people would envy your race even though it was death? Man, I'm jealous. I wish I could live my life like that. And there are people across history that have put it all on the line for Jesus Christ and his gospel that we are jealous of. I wish I could go and be killed in Africa for the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm just not strong enough. I wish that I could go and give everything. What if somebody committed their whole entire life? I wish my life was like that. No, you don't. Why do you even talk like that? Because they scorn the shame of being a martyr, dying for everything that God had dreamed them to be. Thank God that God has got your life marked out for you. It is blessing. It is wholeness. It is wellness. It is everything that God can supply to your life. But along the way, there's going to be some times when mile 18 hits and you're going to feel like giving up. He says, keep your eyes on Jesus. keep your eyes on Jesus. I want my life to be something where people look at it and say, I wish I had Brandon's life. That mile 18, when it was the hardest and nobody knew it, that I ran so well, I faithfully persevered and threw off the things that were holding me back and got to a finish line, scorning the shame of what happened along the way so that Christ could be gloried in me. Don't you want to be like that? Don't you want to be the kind of people who experience God's fullness no matter the cost? I heard this lady tell a story on Friday. I was like, my God. She looked nothing like her story. I met people who looked nothing like their story this weekend. And for a minute I thought, man, I wish my life was like theirs. Because we look at the glory and don't remember the story. But God is taking your story and making it into His story. And it will be history forever if you'll run the race marked out for you. I'm here to tell you today that everything that you're going through, God can see you through. Everything that you're running through, God can take you to the finish line. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, my body wants to give up, but I beat my body into submission. And maybe you're here today and you say, I want to give up. I'm done. I can't go any further. I can't go anymore. There's no way. Everything inside of me is breaking down. It's time for you to beat that body into submission. Work it back and say, no, you don't. We don't quit. We're faithful. Persevere. Consider Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I don't know where you are today, but the Bible says this in Hebrews. It says that he endured the cross for the joy set before him. And I wonder which step that you're walking is taking away the joy of what's set before you. Each step could take it away. I know a pastor that ran 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 different continents. By marathon 5, he had busted his knee and ran the rest of the marathon with a broken, shattered knee. And people were walking along, cheering him on, and he said, he's on camera saying, I shattered my knee. I don't know what it is. He's like, but I'm not walking. And he's running, shuffling each foot with whatever run he can muster up, with all the perseverance, because he believed in the cause for which he was running. The cause of Jesus Christ. Are you looking at every circumstance and not remembering Jesus Christ? Are you looking at every step thinking about, I'm gonna quit. This is about it. It's about all I can take. Not remembering Jesus Christ. But you fix your eyes on Jesus. Hey, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Holy Spirit, we invite you in to do a work in this room. Only you know what mile people are on, where they are. Because of your presence, we live in fullness of joy. Because of your presence, we can endure. Because of your power, we can conquer. And you always lead us in victory because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You're here today. Say, Brandon, pray for me. That faithfulness you're talking about, I need it today. Now, here's the thing. Magic prayers not do nothing when you're running. You're going to need the faithfulness to walk the next step. And as you walk, as you run, you'll experience the miracle as you're obedient to what God has called you to do. God, help us to be obedient the next step, the next stride, the next run, so we can experience the miracle on the other side. We need you. Here today, say, Brandon, pray for me that I can walk another step. Would you raise your hands? I can pray for you today. Thank you. Awesome. Let's all just stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power and the presence of God. We endure because of you. We persevere because of you, Father. Speak to our hearts to set aside the weight and the sin that sets us back. Give us strength for the journey. Give us a new mind, a new heart that's focused on the end game, the end goal of your glory in us. Help us to become all that you dreamed us to be, to see you in your fullness in us. We're thankful, thankful, Father, that in the worst of times, the worst mile, the worst part of it, when we're running alone, you're there. Shoving us, pushing us, giving us the strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a praise.